A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven, concentrate on Sim. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On this display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The light's probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number six.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 39. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television. And today we are doing our third bonus episode. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
In most of our episodes on British Invaders, we talk about a given British science fiction TV series. In this case, we're doing a bonus episode, so we're going to be a little less organized and maybe a little less formal and talk about some of the things that are going on now in remakes and sequels and different things that are coming out and that are available, and we'll talk about some feedback that we've had from our listeners as well.
So first of all, a sort of recap previously on British Invaders. As you say, Brian, British Invaders is a podcast all about British science fiction television, and in the past we've covered a lot of the big shows from British TV. So if you go to the website at britishinvaders.com, you'll find podcasts about Doctor Who and Blake Seven and Quatermass in all its various forms, and several other shows that we've covered. And I think one of the concepts behind British Invaders is this idea of discussing it with somebody from England, that's me obviously, who watched many of these shows over here when they came out, and then somebody with a more North American perspective who's perhaps seen some of the shows a bit more recently than me.
That's right, and it lets us see things both from how they were seen in England originally and a little bit from afar, which is kind of nice. We've covered about 20 shows by now, some big ones, as Eamon has said, and some smaller, more obscure things as well, like The Nightmare Man and The Omega Factor. And we tend to go through them and talk about them in some detail, and we'll give a little bit of a point of view of what we thought about them at the end. But mostly, it's really about the shows. It's not so much about us or about what we thought. And my take on it is we're trying to build the encyclopedia of British sci-fi TV as written by the fans.
And we should also point out as well that we also try and keep our reviews fairly spoiler-free. So we hope we don't spoil any of these shows for you, because we do hope that you'll go out and seek out some of this stuff if you've not seen it before, and let us know what you think about it. And as you say, we've covered lots already, and hopefully you'll be pleased to hear we've got lots to cover in the future as well. We've got a sort of roster of shows stretching right the way through the coming year at least, and several others to go on the list after that, I think, Brian.
Yes, that's right. We have a solid schedule most of the way through 2009. We're already setting things up to go quite a ways beyond that. So if you haven't gone and checked back at some of our older things, why not take a look? We have some pretty good stuff there. And if you have been listening to our stuff, thank you. We appreciate all of our listeners, and that's just great. And this is unlike our normal take on things, because right now we're talking about ourselves and talking about the show much more than we actually would on any given regular episode. So it's just a little bit of a change.
And you could find all this stuff, as we say, on britishinvaders.com. And you can also send us your suggestions for shows we could review in the future. And we've had lots of suggestions, which are fantastic. We'll talk about some of them in a moment, but keep them coming in. If there's shows you think we ought to cover, do let us know. So we should talk about some of the sequels and remakes and all the excitement that's going around at the moment about a number of classic British sci-fi shows that are getting remakes, Brian.
Yes, one of the big ones is The Prisoner, which we haven't talked about on British Invaders yet, but it was a classic late 1960s series that was full of all kinds of Cold War fears and was quite bizarre, that involved a main character who was a spy of a sort, but we never knew what his name was. And he was essentially abducted and held in this bizarre type of village of these different people who are there against their will. It was very bizarre and quite unusual. And there is a new remake that is in process. The original starred Patrick McGoohan, who actually died quite recently. And the new one stars Jim Caviezel, an American, and Ian McKellen, who is, of course, British. And they finished filming this in December 2008, and they're looking for a broadcast in November 2009. I believe it is primarily an American production done by AMC, the American Movie Classics Channel, but it is actually a co-production with ITV, a British TV company involved as well. So it will be interesting to see what they do with that. And as a bonus offshoot from this, AMC, American Movie Classics, has actually put the original series, The Prisoner, which ran for 17 episodes, they've put it up on their website, so you can watch the original The Prisoner online right now.
Oh, cool. I wasn't aware of that. Is that just in North America, or I wonder if that's right across the world? I should have to look into that.
It is in Canada as well as the US, which is unusual for these types of things. I'm not aware if it works in the UK and other places or not. I suspect it might, because usually Canada is one of the first countries to be excluded.
Right. I mean, the original, as you say, the original Prisoner is this fantastic mix of sort of Cold War paranoia, but it also had lots of, I think, quite a number of sort of 1960s wacky, weird episodes. And I get the feeling that the remake is going to concentrate on the sort of Patrick McGoohan's more original idea of this sort of paranoid spy thriller. I don't know. It's very complex to describe it, really, isn't it? But that feels like what they're going to be looking at this time.
I think so. They've said it will be updated and will deal with more current issues rather than the classic sort of Cold War stuff they were doing at the time. There is some footage from it and interviews from it that are available online at the AMC website as well. And what they have there actually looks pretty good. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with that.
Okay. Also, we have The Survivors, which was a 1970s Terry Nation, a BBC show, a sort of post-apocalyptic disaster about a group of people surviving a terrible viral plague. And as we discussed in our last bonus show, the BBC have remade that recently, and it had a 6-episode miniseries which came out in 2008. And although it wasn't, I mean, there were quite a few differences to the original, and there were some bits which weren't really handled as well, it was still very popular and very well made. It had a very impressive cast, and the news on that one is that it has been so successful it's been commissioned for a second series. So there'll be more Survivors coming up on the BBC, I presume, in 2010, I should think. But that was pretty good and worth watching, and we'll talk about that when we come to cover the original Survivor series later on British Invaders.
Yes, I've seen the original series. I haven't seen the new one yet, so it'll be interesting to see what they did with it, and it will be interesting to see if they improve in their second season, which often happens with these types of shows.
Absolutely, yes. They did do some interesting things. They did change things slightly and introduce some new elements, which were quite strange and interesting. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the second series. We've also, again, in the last bonus show, we talked about Life on Mars, an interesting detective police show which featured a character who's from a very modern police force who somehow gets thrown back in time to a 1973 police force with an awful lot of different attitudes and different ways of policing and obviously different fashions and different cars. And last time we were talking about the American remake of that, which was, I think the pilot had already been made, and it featured Colm Meaney from Star Trek and some other actors whose name escaped me at the moment. And interestingly, after they made the pilot, they basically scrapped it, recast it almost entirely, and had another go at it. And this time, the sort of main character, Gene Hunt, who's the unreconstructed 1970s detective, played by a slightly more well-known actor, I suppose, Harvey Keitel. And I haven't seen the American remake yet, but it is actually, that's being produced and is has been broadcast, I believe.
Yes, the first season was broadcast. There's no news about if they will have a second season or not.
Right, but it's interesting. They made the pilot. It obviously wasn't terribly successful or quite what they wanted, so they recast it and then went ahead and made the whole series.
I haven't seen the American version. I've heard that it was fairly good. It was fairly popular, so we'll see. That may, in the end, be successful.
Okay, one to look out for.
And then there's Red Dwarf.
Hooray!
Yes, Red Dwarf was a late 80s and 90s series, ran basically all the way through the 1990s, and it was a classic comedy space sci-fi show. In fact, we'll be talking about it on our next regular British Invaders discussion. And it was a great show. So now, 10 years after the final season, season 8, finished, they're coming back with a reunion show, where what they're doing is they're making a two a two-part brand new episode, and they're also making a new making of episode to go with that, and they're making a clip show to go with the new episode as well. And apparently the clip show will have some new content as well and will be different from typical clip shows. This is what they're saying.
And it's the original cast.
Yes, they have the original cast back, which I think is kind of essential with Red Dwarf. It's awfully hard to reconstruct a show like that without the original cast. And when we talk about Red Dwarf next time, we will talk a little bit about that fact as well.
It's tremendously exciting, isn't it? You know, the boys from The Dwarf are riding again, and they'll be with us very soon.
Yes, I believe that is April 2009.
That's right, yeah.
It's coming very soon.
And then also, later in 2009, we have another BBC remake. The BBC seem to be quite keen on remaking all their classic 70s and 80s science fiction at the moment, because they're doing The Day of the Triffids, which we talked about on British Invaders quite a few shows ago, when we covered the 1980s miniseries version, but we also talked about the film and other various radio productions. And so the BBC are making a two-part adaptation of Day of the Triffids at the moment, which is supposed to be out late in 2009. And again, they've announced the cast, which is absolutely quite a stellar cast. We've got Dougray Scott, Joey Richardson and Vanessa Redgrave, the comedian Eddie Izzard, Jason Priestley, and even Brian Cott, making yet another British Invaders appearance, is going to be in it as well. And it's also, I think, it's been produced by a lady called Julie Gardner, who's been involved with the new Doctor Who series. So it all sounds very impressive.
Do you know who's writing the adaptation? Has that been announced?
Patrick Harbinson, who's written for ER and Law and Order, is writing the current version.
Interesting. Well, the 1981 version of Day of the Triffids was very good, so they have a very high bar to reach for, both in being true to the original novel and also in just quality of drama and story. So we'll see what happens. It will be interesting to see what they do with that. If you haven't seen the 1981 version of Day of the Triffids, it's well worth looking at. It's very solid sci-fi drama.
There's just one thing I'm worried about, Brian, which you could probably guess. CGI Triffids.
Now, Doctor Who reconstructions. We talked about the missing episodes of Doctor Who in a recent British Invaders discussion, and we had talked extensively about the loose canon reconstructions, and we were quite impressed with them. What these were doing were they were taking audio from 1960s episodes of Doctor Who. Many of the Doctor Who episodes from the 60s are missing. There are no existing copies, but there are full copies of the audio for all of them. And in many cases, there are photographs taken of them. They have these telesnaps where they have quite a lot of photographs. So people build these sort of slideshow reconstructions, and Loose Cannon has taken that to the next level and filmed people as doubles from behind and done computer graphics and all kinds of things like this. When we talked about them, there were only three incomplete Doctor Who serials that they had not reconstructed. Well, now there are only two, because their reconstruction of Evil of the Daleks is out. I have not seen it yet myself, but it sounds like it will be a very good one. And we had alluded at the time on our discussion before that they were introducing yet another reconstruction technique to their already broad portfolio of them. And we can now say, because it's already been announced on their website and the reconstruction is out, that it's actually filming at the original location. They went to the hotel that was the site that was the location for Maxtable's house in Evil of the Daleks, and actually did some black and white film pushing a Dalek down the hall in that original location. So that, I'm sure, will be a very good reconstruction, because their work, especially their recent work, has been outstanding.
Yep, it's absolutely, as you say, the Loose Cannon stuff, fantastic. And it's interesting to see them developing their new techniques and just continue to produce this stuff.
We had also talked about animated reconstructions on YouTube. And the thing that we were talking about at the time that we were referring to as OCP Movie, which was the YouTube user, that project is actually called Who Sprites, and it's being done by a California filmmaker by the name of Garrett Gilchrist, and he is building something up that I believe other people will be able to contribute to eventually with the sprites that he's building, and the project that he has shows quite a bit of promise, so it will be interesting to see what comes of that when they start getting full episodes and full serials on there.
And very good, yeah. I mean, as you say, it's great to see this fan work keeping the missing episodes alive and able to be enjoyed by a sort of like a new generation of Doctor Who fans.
And there's something new that just came out recently by someone else on YouTube, and we'll include a link to this in the show notes because I don't have it here right now. Someone took the audio from a trailer, an original sort of TV spot trailer for Web of Fear with Patrick Troughton, and did black and white computer animation for it from scratch. Very much like what the BBC hired Cosgrove Hall to do for The Invasion. Well, this was done by a fan, and it was quite impressive. It looks very good. So hopefully we may be seeing more from this person than from other people doing their own computer animation of classic Doctor Who episodes to bring them back to us.
Russ Port from Loose Cannon listened to our discussion of the missing episodes of Doctor Who, and he had a few comments and corrections to make. The BBC VHS release of The Reign of Terror did not actually have a reconstruction of the two missing episodes. It just had a brief 2-minute linking segment that explained what happened in those. Also, we didn't actually mention the Doctor Who Reconstructed line, which was a line of MP3 CDs that the BBC sold that you could listen to with an MP3 player, or you could play them on a computer. And on a computer, you'd be able to see the photos as well as hear the audio. So they had Telesnap reconstructions in those. They only actually released one and then ended the line. So the only one was Power of the Daleks. But we did not mention that, and that release is kicking around out there. So that's another recon you can find as well. We mentioned that the BBC has these sets of photos that you can look at to see something of an episode on their website. We referred to them as, I think, Photosnap reconstructions. They're actually BBC photo novels is what they call them. I had mentioned the text on screen reconstruction of Shada. That was available, as I mentioned, and I said that it had been done by John Nathan Turner, the producer who took over at that point on Doctor Who. It was actually Ian Levine who did the text on screen version of Shada. But in fact, as I had said in the discussion, you don't really need to see that now because there is the much better version with Tom Baker providing linking narration. Thanks for giving us all of those pointers, Russ. We appreciate it.
Okay. Another thing we wanted to mention, moving on, is an upcoming DVD release, which is the DVD release of the complete 2 series of a show called The Tripod. And this was another 1980s show set in a future where strange alien machines seem to control humanity. And that was, again, a very popular show from the 1980s, which has been, I think the first series was available on DVD, but the second series was only available in odd bits and pieces on VHS, and they haven't been available for many years. And we've been waiting for it for a while, and at the moment, the complete 2 series of The Tripods is scheduled for release in Region 2 on March 23rd. It has been pushed back a few times, so whether or not they'll be able to keep to that date, we don't know. But I know a lot of people, myself included, are looking forward to that coming out. We can get to see the whole of The Tripods again and see if it's as good as we remember it.
I'd like to talk a little bit about Big Finish. Big Finish is a company that produces audio dramas that are released on CD and occasionally also broadcast on the radio. And they make new stories based on classic TV series, primarily Doctor Who, but they also do Sapphire and Steel and some other things as well. We've talked a little bit about Big Finish on British Invaders in the past. I'd like to dedicate a discussion to some part of the Big Finish output at some point, but we have not done that yet. There are a couple of things coming up in the Big Finish releases that I wanted to mention here. One is the third season of the Eighth Doctor Adventures. These are adventures starring Paul McGann as the Eighth Doctor. They have released the first 2 seasons, which were also broadcast on BBC 7 in the UK, and they are basically 50-minute or one-hour adventures that come up in a series of about 8 that they do each year. Well, this year they're doing it a little bit differently. They're splitting them into 2-parters, so you have 2 half-hour episodes for each adventure, and they're releasing them online on a week-by-week basis, so you can buy a subscription that lets you hear a new half-hour Doctor Who adventure every week. And it's fitting very much into the schedule of when this year's Doctor Who season would be, but they're skipping 2009. There is no new Doctor Who season on TV in 2009, so Big Finish is stepping up to the plate and putting out a series that will come out every Saturday starting on March 7th. And the Eighth Doctor adventures are really fun. They combine some of the style and pacing of the new series with elements of the classic series, and you have Paul McGann as the Doctor and Sheridan Smith as Lucy Miller. I encourage you to check that out and get a subscription because it should be good stuff.
As you know, I haven't listened to as much of the Big Finish stuff as you have, Brian, but certainly the ones I have listened to have been very well done, very enjoyable. So yeah, it's quite, as you say, quite exciting that they're picking up the slack this year in Doctor Who output.
Big Finish is also doing a new line called Doctor Who The Lost Stories, which they will be releasing in 2010. And these are audio productions of the stories that would have been done for season 23 of Doctor Who with Colin Baker. What happened at the time in the mid-80s, they did one season with Colin Baker as the Sixth Doctor, and then there was a hiatus for about 18 months where there was no new Doctor Who on the air. There was talk that the show might be canceled, which it wasn't at that point, but they eventually came back with The Trial of a Time Lord as season 23. Well, before they did that, there was a different season 23 with half a dozen different stories that was planned that was never actually produced. Big Finish is now going to produce audio versions of the stories that had been planned for season 23, and they'll have seven of them, including Mission to Magnus and The Nightmare Fair, which have been novelized, so they're fairly well known. Those will feature Colin Baker as the Doctor and Nicola Bryant as Perry, and I think they're really something to look forward to for 2010. There are also a couple of new TV series that Big Finish is picking up. One is Robin Hood. They'll be doing Robin Hood talking books based on the BBC Robin Hood series that is currently running. They're coming out with new stories that will tie in with the upcoming third season, and they're also going to be doing some things based on Highlander the series. So that is definitely some stuff to look forward to.
Duncan MacLeod is Scottish. How much more British can you get?
And Adrian Paul is from England as well.
Yeah. Okay, so lots of Big Finish stuff to look forward to. Feedback. We've been getting a lot more feedback recently, which has been fantastic. We, I think like all podcasts, feedback is the currency of podcasters, and we just love to get it. In particular, we've been very pleased to hear that some people have been seeking out some of the shows we've reviewed after hearing our reviews. And I know, Brian, that's something particularly exciting when we hear people tracking down this stuff because they heard us talking about it.
Absolutely. One of the key reasons for starting British Invaders to begin with was to generate a little bit of interest in some of these, especially older British shows. So it's great to hear any time that someone is going and watching something because we covered it. I really like that.
And you can leave feedback in a variety of ways. You can leave comments on the blog on the website at britishinvaders.com, and we do get some comments made after all our shows. You can send us an email at britishinvaders@gmail.com, or you can now post on the Facebook group by searching Facebook for British Invaders, and we have an open group there, and we have threads about our most recent shows and general discussions starting there. So lots of ways you can get feedback to us, and we've had some specific feedback on some of the shows that we've covered quite recently in the last year or so, which we're going to just briefly go through.
We covered Time Slip on British Invaders. This was the early 1970s time travel show for children that was really quite good. It was originally produced in color, but the color episodes for the most part have been lost. So what we have now are black and white versions of the original episodes, although we do have one episode in color. Mary Freer, who frequents our Facebook group, made the comment that the black and white episodes really look better for Time Slip. And I really have to agree with her for this. The black and white ones do look better than that one color one that we have.
The black and white ones appear, as you say, timeless, much more interesting. I know, and more creepy as well, because it's quite a creepy show, Time Slip. We also had an email from Jill Arroway from the Signal podcast on the subject of Time Slip. Like Mary, Jill has been one of our regular correspondents and gives us lots of useful feedback. And she pointed out that the theme music from Time Slip, which is a very bombastic piece of music, cropped up later on British TV when it was used in an episode of a comedy show called Rippin' Yarns. It was used in the episode called Tompkinson's School Days. And Rippin' Yarns was a sort of spin-off from some of the Monty Python team, in particular Michael Palin and Terry Jones. And so the music turned up there, which sort of, I remember now when Jill mentioned it, because Jill said it caught her by surprise when it first came on, like it did with myself, and that we thought Time Slip was back on the television.
What a bizarre place for the Time Slip music to show up. Jill has been very helpful to us at British Invaders and has given us lots of feedback, and she's also run our promos on The Signal, which is the Firefly and Serenity podcast that she's involved with. So here is a promo for The Signal.
You know what the first rule of flying is? Love.
You're listening to The Signal.
Well, we hope you are.
We're back with Season 5.
Shiny. A
must be bad guys.
Could be bumpy.
Always is.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And this year,
we're going further than we ever have before
to bring you the best articles,
interviews,
news,
and reviews from in and around the world of Joss Whedon's Firefly and Serenity.
I love this ship. I have from the first moment I saw it.
What you care about is the ships, and mine's the nicest.
It's love, in point of fact.
She loves this ship.
If you love Firefly, you need to listen to The Signal.
With new writers, new ideas, new content,
and loads of your favorite regular segments.
Helping to keep Firefly and Serenity alive in the hearts of browncoats everywhere.
We hold. Hold till I get back.
Hell with this. I'm gonna live.
The Signal.
Still flying in 2009.
Join us at
www.serenityfirefly.com.
We're still flying. That's not much. It's enough.
The Signal.
Season 5.
What was that?
So another show we discussed quite recently was a rather scary four-part BBC series from the 80s called Nightmare Man. And this was quite an obscure one that I think a lot of people were new to, including myself. And it produced quite an impact on us and I think on some of the people who wrote to us about it.
The Nightmare Man was great, but it didn't have very many broadcasts and it was not widely available until the DVD came out recently.
Yeah, it's a little gem which is worth hunting down. We had an email from Steve Knott who pointed out quite an interesting feature of Nightmare Man, which we hadn't really occurred to us, which was the possibility of a drinking game with the police inspector in the series. And basically, Steve suggests every time the police inspector has a wee dram or pours a shot of something sort of alcoholic into a coffee mug, that you take a drink as well. Whether you'll still be in one piece to watch the final episode and the conclusion to the story after that, I don't know. But it's an interesting. We've not had a British Invaders themed drinking game mentioned before.
That's definitely a first. But the inspector does have quite a few, so maybe it makes sense.
He likes the odd bracer. With all the nasty things that are going on in Nightmare Man, he likes a wee dram. We also had an email from Eric Funk, who pointed out how effective it was in Nightmare Man that the killer is concealed and that we never see, you know, we only ever see things from the killer's point of view as the story goes on, and how this builds the suspense and creates quite sort of terrible images in our imagination, how it's very powerful. It was that they keep things so well hidden in that series that it's actually very, very effective. And I think that was something we discussed when we talked about the show.
Eric is a friend of mine, and I know he's into a lot of shows where the power is in what you don't see, not in what you do see. And Nightmare Man certainly fell into that for much of the story. He also made a comparison to The Mist by Stephen King and how this fog or mist was used, which was an interesting one that hadn't occurred to me.
Yeah. The Mist, of course, brings us on to another comment we had from David Wade, which was about the fog in Nightmare Man, because the fog on the isolated island was a big part of the story. But I think David pointed out how they'd used basically different lenses and obviously clouding or fogging on the lenses to produce the effect. And he's obviously quite sharp-eyed because he'd noticed some scenes where it was foggy in one take, and then the next take you can see around the edges that it's actually not quite so foggy. But again, you know, it did build the suspense and the imagination quite well. And I think David also had a similar experience to myself in that he watched the whole thing, the four episodes straight through the first time, but was going back to watch it in a more serialized form the second time, just watching one episode a week, and which produced, I think, a better result from this program.
Taking a little bit of space between episodes in these serialized programs really can help. Even if it isn't one a week, even if it's one episode a day or two episodes a day with a break in between them, just having that little bit of space to breathe so you haven't just seen the previous episode when you watch a new episode can really add a lot to one of these shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
After our discussion of the missing episodes of Doctor Who, Donovan Hall was saying he was listening to some audio recordings of the original episodes that did not have narration, and he found it quite difficult to follow. And then when he started getting a hold of recons where you have photos and other types of visuals that can fill in what you're missing, it really helped a lot. And I'll have to agree with Donovan on this. It definitely helps a lot lot to have either narration filling things in or some photos and other kinds of reconstruction to fill in the visuals.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it just adds so much to the audio of the missing episodes, and it just makes it so much more, I suppose, enjoyable, but and also comprehensible, that you can realize what's actually going on in some of these sequences, which are quite difficult to describe otherwise.
There were 4 episodes included as audio only on the Doctor Who Lost in Time DVDs, and they did have that problem.
Yeah. And another great show that we covered just a few episodes ago was Children of the Stones, another very spooky children's TV show which created quite an impact on us and lots of other people who've seen it. And again, David Wade wrote to us or emailed us in particular about the very thought-provoking ending of Children of the Stones, which we sort of alluded to, but it's very difficult to discuss without giving away too much. But certainly the ending is fascinating and will leave you thinking for a day or two afterwards as to what was going on. And he also, I think, shared our view that it was quite surprising, really, that the Children of the Stones was, in fact, children's television, because it's very adult in some of the science and discussions that goes on in it. And it's also remarkably creepy and scary for children.
Yes, Children of the Stones has been called the scariest children's show ever. And it was a great serial, too.
Yeah. And Joe Leather emailed us because he took it even a step further. He had a family outing to the village of Avebury with the Stone Circle, which is actually in, or I suppose stands in for the village of Milbury in the TV show. So he actually took his family there for a day trip, and he found that quite disturbing and unnerving himself, having watched the program. And I'm not surprised. I think I would have found it a bit strange.
Yes, Children of the Stones took place in a village that was surrounded by a stone circle. And the village of Milbury, where it takes place, is like a fictionalized version of Avebury, where it was actually filmed. So I'm glad to hear that the real village of Avebury has the same impact as the fictionalized one we saw on screen.
Yes, if you haven't heard it, do go back and listen to our review of Children of the Stones and then track down the DVD and watch it, because it's another gem.
A number of people have written in with suggestions for things that we should cover on British Invaders, which is great, and we've included some on our schedule already, and we'll include some more of later as well. Mary Freer suggested the tripods, which is a great idea as soon as those DVDs come out and we can get a hold of that to look at them. Leslie Trigg liked what we said about the Omega Factor and liked watching the Omega Factor, and she was asking for Neverwhere, which was a neat show from the 90s too. So I think we'll be covering that at some point in the not-too-distant future as well.
And Paul, I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, Paul Boker, or Bocker, suggested a show called Invasion Earth, which, again, this is the other side of the coin. I mean, we like it when people track down programs that we've suggested, and this is a program that we hadn't heard of and which we are trying to get hold of to have a look at and see whether we'll be covering that on a future episode as well. So thanks very much for the suggestion, Paul.
I was actually aware of Invasion Earth, and I do have a copy now, and I haven't watched it yet, but that'll be something to look at, and maybe we'll cover it in the future.
And then again, Jill Arroway has been in touch with us.
Jill was suggesting 2 classics 1970s shows, Star Maidens and The Tomorrow People. And I can tell you, we'll be covering at least one of those.
Absolutely. And quite soon, too, I think.
Jill also took us to task on something a little bit, which I think was a good thing in this case, actually. We had mentioned in a previous bonus episode that we would be covering series that are available on DVD or otherwise available, so that when people hear our discussions, they'd be able to go and find the things we were talking about and watch them if they wanted to. What Jill said was that what about all the missing material and things that just aren't available? Well, they're still worth talking about. And of course, Jill is right. And we will talk about some missing series and things of that type as well. Jill was mentioning shows like Escape into Night, The Changes, The Feathered Serpent, and Ace of Wands, which are either partially missing or entirely missing, or parts have been recovered, or in the case of The Changes, it exists. It's just very hard to actually get a copy to watch it. So there are lots of interesting things there, and we will probably do a discussion focusing on a number of missing series at some point in the future, and we'll definitely try to look at some of these things that are in that category.
Absolutely. I mean, it's a very good suggestion, and some of this stuff we'd absolutely love to get to. I mean, in particular, the classic 1970s TV series The Changes, which you mentioned, which does exist in various bits and pieces, and you can watch parts of it on YouTube and so on, but I know there's a bit of a campaign going on to get the BBC to release that on DVD, because that was a very strange series, again, in a sort of post-apocalyptic series where people took against technology and started to destroy all machines, and the experiences of one young girl who has to try and survive and make a way on a journey across Britain in this sort of post-technology world. So very interesting. We'd like to get to discuss that and to see it in a more complete form at some point. And some of this other stuff as well, as you say, Escape Into Night, the clip of that that survives on YouTube is extremely disturbing for a children's show. Very, very frightening. And if you have any recollections of some of these shows or of other British science fiction television shows that you remember that maybe they don't survive, but you'd like to talk about them or let us know about them, do please email us and send us some more information. That would be great.
If you remember seeing any of these shows which are now missing, please let us know. We'd love to hear about it. If you remember them in detail or if you just have vague memories of them and what you thought of them, we'd love to hear about that, from things ranging from anywhere from the 1940s up through the 1970s.
Yep, absolutely. Please do. So that pretty much wraps it up for this bonus show. We have, as we say, given you some clues. Coming up soon on British Invaders, we have our discussion about Red Dwarf, which will be coming along very shortly, we hope.
I am looking forward to that discussion. It should be really fun. You can reach us at BritishInvaders@gmail.com, and you can find us at www.britishinvaders.com. We also have a Facebook group, so you can search Facebook for British Invaders and find us there. So thank you for listening, and this is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time, this is goodbye from Eamon in England.